Thank you, worship team, Pastor Jonathan, and all your team. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Rebecca, for that awesome prayer. Thank you, media team, for serving weekly. Let's give it up for our media team back there. Yeah, come on, let's do better than that. Come on. Thank you for our security team. They keep us safe. They keep an eye watching out for us. So I'm very grateful for them and all that they do. I've got my little table of tricks here. Not really tricks, but I like to keep you guessing. I've got something here that I want to pull out. Anybody know what this is? Seeds. This is corn seeds. Anybody ever grow a garden? Two of you? Praise God. A couple of you. I've got some seeds this morning that I have, and I want to pull out a couple that I have in this bag. You can kind of see them just a little bit better. But they dry these suckers out. And I thought about just buying a bag of corn, deer corn. I thought, well, you know, that'd be a lot cheaper. It's about $11 a bag, and I bought like six of these little small bags of seeds, and it cost me $2 a bag. I think I lost out. But these little seeds right here are tiny. Some of you may not even be able to see them. They're so tiny. And they don't look like much. But can I tell you, these little handful of seeds, if they're planted right, they have incredible potential. If you put them in good soil and you take care of them and you nurture them and keep the weeds pulled out, they can grow into something big. Anybody ever seen a cornfield? Driving down the road, maybe you've walked through one, maybe you've been through the corn maze. They get taller than I, and they get bigger than me. And they have a lot more than just one little kernel of corn on them. On those cobs, there's a lot. I mean, I don't know how many there are, maybe 60, 100, maybe 200 kernels of corn on one cob. I've eaten a lot of cob, a lot of corn, and I like it. One way I like to eat it is I like to take the butter, and I like to stick my corn right on top of the butter and just roll it on the top. I don't think my guests like it, but I like it. And it makes it so flavorful and good. How many of you like popcorn at the theater? Like to put that oil, butter, whatever that stuff is on there. Well, they come from this, right? Seeds. So if you take care of it, it can grow into something big, something really, really great that provides food, it provides shelter, and even life sustenance. And that's how generosity works. Generosity works that way because what seems small in your hand, given in faith to God, can grow into something enormous. It can change lives. It can build hope. It can move the mission of God forward. I want you to hear me today. If we take a few seeds and we put them in the ground every so often, and we put them right where they need to be. Now, I know this isn't probably the right way you sow seed. But if you take it and you put it down, put your finger down there, push it maybe, I don't know, an inch or so deep. You stick it down in there and you take the grass. You take the dirt and put it back over top of it. And what happens? It starts to grow. But it grows by what? It grows by faith. Yeah. It grows by faith. And when we scatter these seeds, what Scripture says and what Jesus taught about this is He says that if it falls on good soil, everybody say good soil, it grows 30, 60, even 100 times. what was sown. That's a lot. Let's just take that just for a second. If I was to take a dollar out of my pocket, which I don't have right now, and if I took a dollar and I put it into something, the dirt, and it came back $30 more, I guarantee you, you're going to take all your dollar bills. I think I would take my $100 bills and see what happened. What's 100 times 30? 3,000? Come on. Then we got $3,000. 3,000, thank you. He's a goofball. That's why we're two peas in a pod. But what happens is it comes back 30, Jesus says, 60, Jesus says, and even 100. When you sow something in faith, it has enormous potential. And today I want you to see your giving as a seed. Everybody say seed. A seed that God can take and multiply beyond what you can imagine. What you can imagine. I want to invite the Holy Spirit during this time and ask Him to fellowship with us and speak Luke 24:45 over this message. So, Father, we welcome You and Your Holy Spirit and Jesus, the whole Trinity here today. We ask You, Lord, today that Your Holy Spirit, You would fellowship with us, move in our midst, move in our hearts, move in our minds. God, help us today. And Lord, as we read the scriptures, Lord, I speak Luke 24:45 over this word, God, that Your Holy Spirit would reveal to our minds and open up our minds, but not only our minds today, Lord, but also our hearts. Help us to see generosity the way You see it, Father. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. We've been in this book for some time now and in this series, but this has been the key passage for this series. Verse 6 of Malachi chapter 3 says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? The answer is, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Everybody say, test me. This is the only place where God says, test me. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Somebody say amen. Amen. Today we're in our third and final week of our generosity series. In our first week, we looked at giving back to God what was already His, which is called the tithe or the tenth. Everybody say tithe. We honor Him by giving Him the first bite. I used an illustration, and I had an apple. I had a bucket full of apples up here, and I had five people come up here. And in the first service, our 9 a.m. service, my mom was here. So I said, Mom, come up, and I want you to be part of this. And I had four other individuals come up, and I gave them one apple of the many apples, and I said, here, everyone take a bite. Do you know who I handed it to first? My mom. You know why? Because I honored my mom other than the others. Not because I don't love the others, but because my mom is somebody that I hold near and dear to my heart, and I wanted to make sure she got the first bite. The person at the end, you know what they got? They got the leftovers. They didn't get the first bite. They got the last bite. And sometimes that last bite is slobbery. It's not juicy because of apple. And it's gross. And you've got to look for a place on the apple because some people take a big bite. And sometimes we do that with our tithe. We don't give it first, but we give it whenever we've done everything else and say, here's what's left, God. I give this to you. So we looked at that and we talked about giving God the first bite. In our second week, which was last week of our generosity series, we talked about the tithing being a test from the Lord to see if we'll honor Him and put Him first. I again had some more fruit and I had some oranges. Some people called them tangelos or whatever, tangerines. They were good, whatever it means, it's good. So we had those and I pulled 10 of them out and set them up here. 10 of those oranges. And we talked about how we are going to take the first and put God first and give Him the first of everything, kind of like the first week, give Him the first bite. Here we did it with the oranges. And what happens with the 90% that's left? He stretches the 90%. But there's some key ingredients to that. Something called stewardship. Say stewardship with me. If you don't manage your money, budget and steward well, I don't believe God's going to honor what you're doing. Hear me. Just because your neighbor went out and got a brand new car and you feel like you're old news does not mean you need to go out and get a brand new car. If your car runs fine and good, good. Now, if you got money sitting in the bank and you just got it falling out your pockets and you're tithing and giving to the Lord, by all means, go keep up with the Joneses, the Smiths, whoever they are. Do it. Being a good steward doesn't mean going out to eat every day and every week. If it's in your budget and you can do it and still give God His tenth, the 10%, then okay. But stewardship, what stewardship looks like is putting your money where it needs to be and place it in the right spots, but the first place that it goes is to the Lord, the tithe, the tenth. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, and I'm going to explain what that is. So, as we focus on generosity, there's four giving types that I'm going to talk about today. Everybody say four. That's right, four biblical giving types that we're going to focus on, and one of them is called the seed. That's right. And we're going to focus on the seed a little bit more than the other three, but that's what we're going to look at. And I want you to understand something. This series is not about money. Well, Pastor, you just talked about dollars and $300 or whatever it was. And you keep talking about giving. Listen, it's more about trust, obedience, and the mission that God has. Hear me today. Trust, obedience, and the mission that God has. You see, God uses generosity to move His mission forward. And He invites you and I to be part of that mission and His generosity. So the four types of biblical giving that we see in Scripture, as we study Scripture, we look at Scripture, we see that God talks about giving in more than one way, which is four ways, and not all giving is the same. Say that with me. Not all giving is the same. And not all giving has the same purpose. Not all giving has the same purpose. The first one we're going to talk about is tithe. I told you we're going to talk about it again. Say tithe. And it's not the tie that you put on. I have to teach my kids it's not the tie, but it's the tithe, the 10%. Here's what tithe says. Are you ready? Obedience is the motivation. Say obedience is the motivation. That is the motivation behind the tithe. It is being obedient to the Word of God. How do you say that, Pastor Josh? Let me show you in Scripture. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 10 says this. It says, "Where will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you, God? He says, in tithes and in offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me." 10 says, "Because bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, then there may be food in my house." He says, "Test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. I want that blessing in my life. I want my pantry to be overflowing. I want my freezers to be overflowing. Okay? Because I feel like I'm feeding all the Hebrew children that's coming out of Egypt. I have 6 kids, if you did not know. So here, tithe is not generosity. What? No. It's obedience. It's God saying, do this because I tell you to. I'm asking you to. So the tenth is not generosity as much as it is obedience. The tithe connects God's covenant to the blessing. It connects us to God's covenant blessing. It also, the tithe, is how the devourer is rebuked. It's how God's house stays supplied. So tithing doesn't make God love you. Hear that. I think some people are like, well, I haven't tithed in weeks or months or years. I've never tithed. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. And it does not make God love you. But it positions you and I to walk under his provision. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to walk underneath God's provision. I stood up here and I talked about somebody giving me a new head shaver. I had not told anybody about wanting a head shaver, but then all of a sudden in my seat in my office was a brand new head shaver wrapped in the package. It had a carrying case. It had a whole new thing, and it has 5 blades on it. You hold the thing and it goes like this, and it's cool. It's really nice. I don't know how to explain it better than that. Come over to my house and I'll show you one day. Saturday nights is when I shave my head. So here's what happens. I'm walking under God's provision, and I'm not telling you that you're just going to get things. I'm not telling you that. It doesn't happen the same way with me that it happens with you. But can I tell you this? Me and my family have never looked at each other and says, I have no idea what we're going to eat. We had food in the pantry. You know what sometimes that food was? Peanut butter and jelly. Sometimes it was tuna and crackers. But you know what? One of my favorite meals is tuna and crackers on a Sunday afternoon. When I get home, that's what I want. Yes, thank you. But here's the deal. We have never been without. We have been without our wants. Catch that. We've been without having really nice vehicles. We've been without having really nice clothes. I'm wearing the same pair of shoes that I got like 6 years ago for my birthday. Just being honest. I will wear my socks out till there's no socks left. My wife throws them away when I'm not looking. There's other articles of clothing that I'll wear till it's completely gone too. And she throws them away as well. Talk about my undershirts, guys. Just make sure you knew that. But here, we have never been without. We've not always had what we wanted, but we've never been without. That's God's provision. And tithing positions us to walk underneath that provision. Tithing is how recession, fear, and lack bypass the believer. The second giving is first fruits. First fruits. First fruit says generosity is the motivation. Say that with me. Generosity is the motivation. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. First fruit says, God, you come first, not my comfort. That's hard to do when it comes to money. But it's the truth. How do we give in our first fruits? We give it through raises. We give it through bonuses. We give it through unexpected income. First fruits prove that I'm not in love with my money, but I trust the one who provides it. The third thing today is the alms. Alms. I remember that from whenever I watched the little cartoon of Robin Hood. Little fox was Robin Hood and little, I think it was a bunny or something. I don't remember what she was. Maybe she was a fox too. I can't remember. But they were all kind of little animals. And I remember Robin Hood walking around with a little old coffee mug or whatever it was, tin cup. And he was acting like a blind guy with a little cane. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. I was like, what in the world is that? Well, when I got an adult, I realized what it was. Alms says this, compassion is the motivation. Say that with me. Compassion is the motivation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, Jesus says, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, how many of you know God sees everything? There's no secrets from God. He will reward you. Listen, I don't want your reward. I want His reward. My prayer is that's your prayer as well. Alms aren't given to God. They are given through God to people. Hear that. The alms is for you to give to others as God places it in your spirit. I remember when I was in Master's Commission, which was the Bible school that I went to, and I was probably about 19 years old. I wasn't completely broke, but I didn't have a lot of money. And I remember going down the altar to pray, and some guy comes up to me. He goes like this. He says, hey, man, it's good to see you. Slaps a $20 bill as we shake hands. And I'm like, whoa, 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 what's this? He goes, no, the Lord told me to do that. Amen. That right there was an awe. Yes. He saw this poor, hungry little boy and said, here you go. But that's what happens, because the alms aren't given to God. They're giving through God to people by you. They're done quietly. Hear this. They're done quietly. They're done with dignity, and they're done with compassion. Why is that? Because it protects the person that you're giving it to, so that people don't think they're needy, poor, and without, and it gives them dignity. It makes them feel okay. And it doesn't make them embarrassed. So don't get up on a Sunday morning, hey, how you doing? Here's a $20 bill. I can tell you need some new shoes. That's probably not the right way to do it, friends. I'm just saying. I'm just being honest. So next is the fourth and final type of biblical giving, what we're going to go take a look at deeper and more focused on this morning, spend a little bit more time on. And it's the seed. Everybody say the seed. That's right. The seed. The seed says faith is the motivation. Everybody say faith is the motivation. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells a parable. And in verse 3, he says, listen. He starts off the parable. Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. What'd he do? He had him a nice little seed bag. And he went out there and he started throwing seed. And in verse 8 it says this. It says, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop. Some multiplying 30. Everybody say 30. Some 60. Say 60. Some 100. Say 100. So it did it 30, 60, and some 100 times. Seed is given in faith, expecting a return. Let me clarify. The tithe is obedience. It's not expecting a return. The seed is the one that you can expect a return on, because there is a law called sowing and reaping. When you sow, you expect in faith a harvest to come about. Does that make sense? We also talked about the alm. We talked about the alm. We've talked about the seed. We also talked about the first fruits. And the first fruits was generosity is the motivation. We talked about how the alm is compassion is the motivation. And here, faith is the motivation of the seed. You see, the seed is the only giving that gives promises to multiplication. If you never sow seed, you'll never see a harvest. How many farmers would go out into a field and tear it up, till it up, get it ready, and they look at it and say, awesome. Is something going to happen? No. They know that they have to plant something and sow the seed to get a harvest. It has to happen that way. And I want to talk about the seed. And this is why I wanted to bring this up today. The seed is something that I've mentioned about for the last few weeks in a different form. And this is what I was talking about whenever I was talking about the seed, whether you realized it or not. And I want to explain about the seed that needs to be given for the future and the mission. It needs to be about the future of this church. Hear me. We are talking about a new church van for this church, for the youth, for the kids, for other ministries, for outreach, for evangelism, many different things. So why does the van matter? I've got one today. How do you like that? Yeah. This seed has some seeds inside of it. That was not intentional. But this seed, or this van, is for kids who need safe transportation. This seed is for families who can't get here otherwise. This van, this seed, is for outreaches we can't do without it. Ministry opportunities currently out of reach because we don't have the transportation necessary. This van will carry children, students, family, and the gospel. This van isn't a cost, it's a tool. This van doesn't save lives, but the people inside of it are the ones that carry the opportunity for lives to be saved. The goal to get a van is $35,000. Some of us are thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. Can I tell you right now, we're going to buy a van that's going to be either 1 to 2 years old that has less than 30,000 miles on it so that it still has some warranty on it. You know why? Because we're not getting another beater. We're not going to go fix the AC. We're not going to go and keep it in the shop every other couple weeks. We're not going to go buy a van that's 6 or 7 years old because we don't know. We're not going to go buy something that's like, well, you just got to fix this one. No, no. We're going to buy something that is reliable. Something that has air condition. Something that has an engine that won't stall. Something that will be good. How many of you want to see 15 kids on the side of the road? Keep your hand down. Ignore that. So I've told you the goal of the amount, but here's the goal of the timeline. Are you ready? By Easter, April 5th, 2026. That's 3 weeks from today. I've been praying. I've been believing that God is going to bring the increase and bring the seed that's going to be sowed in this house through you and me. How's he going to do it? By faith. I'm believing. I serve a God that nobody knew that I was looking for a razor. And it showed up on my seat yesterday before I even shaved my head. That's the God that I serve. The God that we serve is a God that paid this church off just this last year. We owed thousands of dollars, but he did it. That's the God that we serve. Now, you say $35,000 is a lot, but let me tell you, Randy Leno sold our old bus for $4,000, so now we only need $31,000. Come on. So that gives us 3 weeks for $31,000. Here's a way to look at it. Are you ready? If 31 people give $1,000, we're there. Yeah, come on. All right. If 62 people gave $500, boom, it happened. If 100 people give $310, it's there. And if we raise more than the $35,000, hear me, if we raise more than $35,000, we will either put it towards a second van or we'll buy even a better van. But hear me. No one in this house, no one in this church is being asked to do everything. But everyone is invited to do something. I'm going to ask my ushers if they'd come and they'd hand out the pledge cards that we've created. Bob, can I have one of those? Thank you. Just make sure everybody in the house gets one today. Can we go ahead and pull up that slide of the van? Fueling the future. This van will have 15, it's a 15-passenger van. It's a Ford Transit that we're looking to get. It could be black, it could be gray, it could be silver, or it could be white. We're not going to get a yellow bus. Just going to throw that out there. No short buses. And then we're going to make sure that it runs well and does well. And that's what we want to do. But I'm asking for every person in this house today to look this over with me. It says, I, state your name in the blank, in faith am going to sow the selected seed for the new church van before Easter Sunday morning, April 5th, 2026. There's $50 on there. There's $100 on there. There's $250 on there. There's $500, $1,000, or the other. Listen, this is an invitation only. We have nobody standing at the door saying, hey, you got to do this. But this is something that we're asking, and I'm not even asking for you to give the money today or sow the seed today. But I'm asking you to prayerfully consider and allow the Lord to speak to you what he wants to do in you and through you. You say, Lord, what seed do you want me to sow? This is not a tithe. This is not pressure. This is a seed. Has everybody in the house received a card today? If anybody hasn't, just slip your hand up. We'll make sure you get it. Do you remember the seed that I had? That little thing that you saw at the beginning of the sermon, this little seed, this bag of seeds. That same principle applies here. Your giving, your seed, has the power to multiply. And today, that seed is going into something that will change lives. It's this van. We're going to get a bigger one than this, I promise. This is just a small replica. This van isn't just a vehicle, it's a tool to reach families who can get here. It's a way to bring kids, students, and entire families into the arms of Jesus. Your seed can move this mission. It can move it forward. Some of us will give sacrificially. Some of us will give for the first time. Some of us will give what feels impossible. But can I tell you something? Every farmer knows this when they plant seed. Every seed counts. Every one of them. And God promises He will multiply it beyond what we can imagine. So I want you to ask God, what seed do you want me to sow today? Well, I've got two buckets that are right here at the front. Again, I'm going to tell you, if you want to sign this and or put your name on this, and if other, and maybe you're just not in a position to even give $50, but you want to do something, put that there in the other. Maybe you're prepared to do it today, or maybe you're not. That's okay. Place it in the bucket. But by April 5th, Easter Sunday morning, we're going to raise $35,000 for this van. Amen? Come on. As you sow this faith, sow this seed in faith, believing for a harvest that will impact lives, families, and our church for years to come, together our seeds can fill this van with hope and opportunity and the gospel. You see, generosity moves the mission. The van moves people. And together, you and I, we move the kingdom. We move it forward. And I want to speak a faith declaration over you this morning. And I want you to believe this with me. Lord, we're believing for provision we didn't expect. God, we're believing for doors we didn't knock on. God, we're believing for favor we didn't earn. And God, we're believing for a harvest we did not imagine in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to pray and ask the Lord, what is it? And as I pray, and after this prayer, I want you to come and I want you to set this card in this bucket. If you have your seed today, set it in there with it. And if not, set it in there. But I'm asking that you would honor what the Lord's put on your heart and your spirit to do. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you are. And I thank you, God, for this seed that's being sown, this card. God, all the ones that have it in their hand, I pray, Father, that you would bless them and help them. God, as they come forward in faith and they put it in there and they write on this card, Lord, I pray, God, that you would minister in them and through them. God, let them be obedient to your word. Let them be obedient to you in whatever it is you want them to do. Bless this, Lord. Help us to reach many souls for the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you this morning, I ask you to come. Place your card in the bucket. Maybe you're watching online and you're not able to be here with us today, and you want to do this as well. And maybe you're not able to give today in person. We do have an online way to give. It's called Fueling the Future. You can go online to our website, click that link, and give online to help us reach the goal And you can sow your seed that way as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everybody to stand as we dismiss. In your seat where you were this morning, you got a card. You got two cards. You've got one inviting people to church on Sunday, 9 or 11. Ask them which one they're going to come to. If they come to 9, you come with them. If they come at 11, come with them. Then also we have another card that I don't want to make sure. I want to make sure there's none left in our seats today. It's our Spring Fest. Yeah. Our Spring Fest is coming up April 4th. It's where we have kids from the community come and be a part of an Easter egg hunt. And we have fun that day. And we want to see hearts change, lives change for the glory of God. And on the other side is an invitation for Easter Sunday morning. We don't want to just give an egg hunt, but we also want to invite them back to hear the gospel, to know who Jesus Christ is, so that they can have eternal life as well. Amen? I'm going to invite my wife to come up here with me as we dismiss you. Before I do that, every head bowed and every eye closed. I can't leave here today without giving an opportunity for salvation. Every Christian praying in the room. Maybe you walked into this place today and you know you needed Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. And you feel Him drawing you. And you want to make a decision to follow Him today. Would you slip your hand up? Nobody looking around. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody in the room to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned, and I repent, and I need your forgiveness. Thank you for dying for me and rising again. Today I open my heart to you and I receive your welcome and trust you as my Savior and as my Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. If you raised your hand this morning, I'd like to talk with you right after service and pray with you. Slip your hands up like this. Let me bless you. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26 says this: The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. We love you so much. Thanks for being with us today.